turning the book of Revelation again today. Recently, I spoke a couple of messages on something in the book of Revelation, because I think it's so relevant for our time today. And you as a church need to be aware of what's going on. And a lot of churches, the preacher never speaks on Revelation. But I don't want y'all to be ignorant. I love the book of Revelation. When God first called me to preach, I just had a deep interest in this book. And I remember the first time I ever tried to teach it at a Bible study at a little church where I was raised. One of the ladies out there come up to me and said, "This book scares me to death." But let me tell you something. This book of Revelation is not supposed to scare any of us. It don't relate to us. We're not going to be here. That's the good news. But we need to know about it so we can warn others about it so they won't be here. Because I tell you what, the book of Revelation, a lot of symbols in it. But all the symbols are explained. The Bible explains it. Maybe not right there, but somewhere else. Takes a little bit of digging. So I want to talk to you about when men fear God. There's a lot of people today doesn't fear God. The day's coming when they will. The day's coming when men's going to fear God. That's what I want to talk about in Revelation chapter 6. And now I spoke the other day about we're supposed to be getting ready. Because Jesus was in heaven before God's throne, and he takes this seven seal scroll out of the hand of God, and he starts opening them up these, each seal. Today we're in the sixth seal that's being opened. Now, again, let me just remind everybody, this hasn't happened yet. John saw what's going to happen, and Jesus had him to write it down so we would know. This is future. It'll happen after the rapture of the church. We won't be here. Praise God. It's bad today, but it's going to get bad. Amen. So look down at chapter 6 and at verse 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal," this Jesus is opening it up, "and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain," get this, "every mountain," what did it say? Every mountain, the Himalaya mountains, the Rocky Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains, all the mountains, it said, "every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Now, do you think about a shaking coming? It's coming. "And the kings of the earth and great men and rich men," excuse me, "and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb," the wrath of the Lamb. "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" I'm going to tell you a little bit of secret. Nobody's going to be able to stand without Jesus. Nobody's going to be able to stand. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for warning us of what's coming on this sin-cursed world. And Lord, I pray everyone in this sanctuary today has made their peace with God, and that we're looking for the Savior to call us to be with Him before the wrath of God comes on this Christ-rejecting world. I pray in His name. Amen. The opening of this sixth seal brings the fear of God at last to men. Today, there's not many people that fear God today. We're living in a time when people say there is no God. Or they say God's good. He wouldn't let something like this happen. Some say God loves me, and He wouldn't let this happen. But the Word of God says in Deuteronomy 8 and 6, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to fear Him." We are supposed to fear God. It don't mean we've got to be scared to death of God. No, it's not meaning that. It means we should be afraid to sin against God. We should be afraid to do anything wrong. We should be afraid to disobey God. Because what God says in His Word is literally true. And so we should fear God. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in 5:21, "Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God." The fear of God. God is holy God. And the Scripture says in Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." God is jealous. Why? He wants your love. He wants you to trust Him. And that goes for everybody. He's jealous. He made you for and me for Himself. Because He wants to bless us. He wants all of us to be with Him forever. The writer of Hebrews wrote in 12:29, "Our God is a consuming fire." He's a consuming fire because of His purity and His holiness. The Bible says it's going to be an awful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Apostle Paul expressed to Timothy the attitude many people would have at the end of the age. Paul has already told us how things are going to digress at the end of the age. I want to share that, and I encourage you to turn in your Bible to it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It's familiar to us, but we ought to look at it, consider it, because this is how Paul said nearly 2,000 years ago it would get in the world. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Are we there yet? Thanks for that amen. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Boy, we got it. "Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now that's kind of hard maybe to some of you to understand there. So I have a copy here of the Living Bible. as the Living Bible makes it more readable for us. I want to read it from the Living Bible to you. And here's what Timothy said in 3:1-5. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that should make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Folks, this is the unchristian view. So I think if you'll read that scripture and meditate on it and look about you today, you must say, surely we're living in perilous times today. Today we can look around and see for ourselves the fulfillment of scripture that was wrote 2,000 years ago. It's going to get worse. We're on the verge of the rapture of the church. The rapture could happen before we got out of here. I say that often, but it's true. There is nothing in Scripture that has to be fulfilled before the rapture could take place. When you know a little bit about Israel, what's going over there right now? They already got their priests trained. They got the utensils for the temple. They say they know where the Ark of the Covenant's at. All of that, they're in their land. Folks, we're on the verge of Jesus Christ calling us out. Because Israel's going to be left behind. They owe 7 more years of judgment to God. And it's the worst 700 of 490. The church age is a pause in between those 490 years, and the last 7 years is going to be mainly on Israel, the Jews, because of their sins against God. Well, it's going to affect all people now, but it's mainly against the Jewish people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, we begin reading about the Lord coming for the church. And may I say this, the church and Israel is two different entities. The church has not replaced Israel in God's plan. It's two different plans. And so the church is about to be removed after 2,000 years. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Notice how personal this is going to be. The Lord himself is coming. He's not just sending somebody. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All Christians since Pentecost is dead. Their bodies will be suddenly resurrected with glorified bodies. Bodies that are eternal. Boy, that's going to be amazing. And then he says, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to have new bodies that we'll get before you can bat your eye. And that new body will look just like you because it's going to be you. It'll be a body like the Lord's. It won't get tired. It won't be sick. It'll be a body that's perfect. And you'll live in it forever. That's a long time to live, isn't it? Forever. And you won't have to go see the doctor. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul, we just read where he talked to those believers at Thessalonica, the church there. But in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 51, he talks to the church at Corinth, another church. He's telling them the same thing. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at 51, if you're following, "Behold, I show you a mystery." This is something that was not talked about in the past, but now it's been revealed. Paul is writing about it. "We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die." In fact, believers don't die. Our body goes to sleep. "But we shall all be changed." All believers he's talking about. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." We're going to put on bodies that live to live in forever. If you don't believe this body you're in is corruptible, you get a sore infected, and you see how that sore can turn ugly and nasty quick. Our bodies are corrupt. And let me say this in passing. Your soul and spirit has already been saved. It's already perfected. It's this body that's sinful that we have to deal with every day, with its lust, its demands. But we've been saved. We're just as saved as we're going to ever be. We're perfect. Our soul and spirit is perfect already. But it's this body we've got to get changed. "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." I went by the funeral home this week, and I seen a lot of cars on the parking lot. One of these days, that's going to cease to be. There won't be any of that in heaven, folks. "So now we see in this sixth seal the hardened hearts of men of every level of society. At last they will be filled with fear." Oh, they were brave now, but they're going to be fearful when this last seal is broken, seal number six. They now see something to fear. They don't have control anymore. They may have once thought they were fearless, but suddenly they now have a change of heart. In verses 12 and 13, it says about them, "I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." What a description of judgment upon people who are not fearful, but they become fearful. John is told to write what he sees and what he hears. This is the best he could do, because back in those days, there was not weapons like we've got today. So he had to write what he saw and what he heard, what was would be used to the day in which he was living. The earthquake described with the adjective great, a great earthquake. When you see that adjective before something like that, that means it is exceedingly great. Awful, destructive. It indicates the severity of this earthquake. You know, all the time you hear about earthquakes. They're in Oklahoma. They're in California. We even had one in North Carolina not too long back. They're all over the world. Boy, the granddaddy of them's fixing to come. They're fixing to come. Some Bible teacher says this is caused from powerful nuclear bombs bursting. It might be. I don't know. But you think about the nuclear bombs that the nations of the world have today. They can do a lot of damage. The Bible says whatever caused this earthquake, it put the fear of God in them. The sun went black and the moon became red and the stars of heaven began to fall, it says. Whether it was God shaking the earth, which he could, or allowing men to destroy himself with nuclear weapons, it makes no difference. The wrath and judgment of God is in it. So think about that. Remember the two atomic bombs that were dropped upon Japan at the end of World War II? Those two bombs, think about all the destruction that they created. When people's bodies was made of shatter on the concrete from the explosions. Well, those bombs are just like little firecrackers to what they got now. And it's not just our nation got them. I think it's 11 or 12 different nations got these hydrogen bombs, nuclear bombs. Those two bombs were like firecrackers. And look at all the devastation they caused and the rush among the nations to control the spreading of them when those two bombs was set off in Japan. John said, as he wrote down, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. The heavens just departed. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. John said every mountain moved. There's a lot of mountains in this world. Do you believe that? They said it was moved out of their place. Even the island were moved. This is going to happen after the church is gone. Aren't you glad you're going to be gone? Hey, are you going to be gone? This power caused the heaven to depart as a scroll. Remember seeing the mushroom cloud of the atomic bombs on Japan? Boy, that was a frightful day that day, folks, or those 2 days. All that air suddenly bust open like that. All that damage, and then when it started filling back in, it caused even more devastation. And what's going to be happening in the tribulation time is going to be much worse. Much worse. People are going to be dying by the millions, tens of millions, during this sixth seal. In fact, half of nearly half of the world's population will die. And when you get down to the nitty-gritty, there's not going to be a lot of Christians gone out, just a few million. John said the mountains and the island will all be moved out of their places. Imagine all the mountains in the world and the island being moved and possibly even leveled. God made everything with a spoken word. He can level everything, can't he? What? Why such devastation? The appointed day of God's wrath he had warned men about over and over and over, and man has failed to listen. This Bible is the Word of God, and it's true. Its prophecies will all be fulfilled. Literally, hundreds of prophecies have been fulfilled. All those 68 prophecies of Christ coming, they've been fulfilled. He's coming again. There's prophecies that say he's coming again. I believe them myself. God hates sin, folks. This world don't understand. God hates sin. God hates rebellion and pride. God's given us his word for it to be preached and taught to warn men that men can have a new heart, a new life. Men can please God. Men can escape the wrath of God. God hates sin, and man has refused to repent. We're told in the Word of God, Noah preached 120 years. Nobody listened. Sometimes I feel the same way. Jeremiah and the prophets felt the same way. Nobody listens. They'll listen this day. They'll listen this day. They're not going to have any alternative. It's going to be worse than what happened to Samson. People laugh, mock, snub their nose at God, but watch and see who gets the last laugh. The Bible says God's sitting in heaven laughing. The Bible says, look in verse 15 of Revelation 6, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, all them big deals, amen? And the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man. In other words, from the highest to the lowest in society, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, trying to get away. But there's no way to get away. There's no place to go. God has got man boxed in, folks. Got him boxed in. You're going to face your sin, man. Thank God for believers in Jesus Christ, we're not going to be facing sin. Our sin's already been judged, and God is now satisfied. Now God's looking to reward us for faithfully serving him. And it's all free. It's all free. From every level of society, from the highest to the lowest, people are refusing to repent and cry out for mercy. God is a God of mercy. He delights to show mercy. Now, he will, if you ask. But you have to turn from sin. Why don't men cry out? It's the condition of the human heart. This is what sin has done to the human heart. When Adam ate forbidden fruit, this is what happened. The human family fell into sin. And we can't get out. And only the grace of God can get us out. And it's being offered to everybody, everywhere. Because God loves everybody, everywhere. We were all made in His image. Education will not change the heart. Culture will not change the heart. Religion will not change the heart. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away the stain of sin and give men new hearts. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Only the blood of Jesus, church, can make us acceptable to God. You know what? You can't hide from God, as these people will attempt to do in the tribulation. They're going to try to hide in the mountains because they recognize who He is. Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in a secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and the earth, saith the Lord. You can't hide from God. He sees. He sees. He knows. Why do people think they can reason with God? You know, some people think, they make such remark as, well, when I get there, I'll deal with it then. No, you won't. We're dealing with it now. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus Himself told us about those who would propose to argue at the judgment. In Matthew 7, maybe you want to turn there. And verse 21 begins by saying, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because people believe in God don't mean they're saved. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And let me answer that question. What is the will of God in heaven? The will of God is this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the will of God. There's a lot of will of God, but that's number one. Amen? Are y'all listening? The Bible says, many will say to me in that day, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? Church folks, religious folks. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, folks, this is what Jesus said. It's not what I think. This is what Jesus has already said. There are going to be people up there who are going to try to rationalize, try to change the Lord's point of view. Amen. Boy, that's going to be a dilly, isn't it? John tells us that all these people who were once so proud and fearless and arrogant are now crying out in fear. In verses 16 and 17 of Revelation chapter 6, here's what they said. And they said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's how horrible that day's going to be. They want to be absent, but they can't get absent. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Only believers in Jesus Christ will stand. Only believers. These people will not go to a prayer meeting when they had the opportunity. They did not have time for God or for their own soul's well-being when they were living in the world and had time. But now they're praying for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. Praying. Begging. They fail to understand they cannot hide from God. No matter where man goes, God is already there. No matter where he's, God is omnipresent. He's the omniscient one, and he sees and knows everything. I tell you, this is just so fascinating about God. God can't even learn anything else. Isn't that some brother? God can't even learn anything else because he already knows everything. Amen? Isn't he awesome, God? What a God. What a God. And he, and a God like this would love me. And you. I tell you, folks. Man has no secrets. He can't hide from God. God reads your heart, your thoughts like a book. Notice they said, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Hey, they knew who he was. When Jesus walked upon this earth, he was as gentle as a lamb. He wouldn't even break a straw, the Bible says. He was so gentle. When Jesus walked upon this earth, he was gentle. He was loving. He was good. The Bible says he went about doing good. He was caring. He cared for people. But now, in Revelation chapter 6, he's angry. We would say today, God is dander up. Amen? God is dander up. You wouldn't repent of your sin now. I've come to deal with you. And see, God's designated so many years for this program to go on and eventually ends. And we're reading about the end now. He's now angry and he's pouring out his wrath upon sinners during this 7-year tribulation time. Sinners who refuse to accept his suffering. Look how he suffered for you. And you wouldn't accept me. Now, I'm giving you my wrath. You wouldn't accept my grace, but I'm giving you my wrath. God's Son suffered like no other person has ever suffered. He suffered because he loved all men so much. How do you fathom the love of God? When you look at all the sin in the world today, and all the rebellion in the world today, and all the hate and the anger that's around us today, how can God love such? He does. He just don't love those actions that are come from sin. When he was rejected and men chose their sin over him, then they received his wrath against sin. This sixth seal judgment is awful, folks, but there are even worse judgments to come. Even worse judgments to come. And yet many people will continue to choose sin over salvation. Why is this? It's a heart problem. that only Jesus Christ can fix. It scares me. I think about, what if I hadn't got saved? Did that ever scare y'all? What if you hadn't? What if you'd have been raised where you didn't get to hear the gospel? You see how blessed you are? Now, not only now have you been saved, but God's given you the opportunity to help get out the gospel. Amen? Psalms 57:7, I love this. My heart is fixed, the psalmist said. Is your heart fixed? Amen. Oh God, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise. We ought to be singing and praising the Lord, folks. He fixed our heart. We had a heart problem because of sin. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away that stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That was promised to the Jews, and we've already got it. We've already got it by being born again, becoming the children of God. Christians have received a new heart, and in the future, the Jewish people will receive it. Those that survive, 2/3 of them are going to be destroyed during the tribulation. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You got to have two births. You didn't have a thing in the world to do with the first birth. You won't have anything to do with the second birth other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 2:10, and I love this. You ought to mark this verse. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are a complete person in Christ. Amen? Isn't that great? Not only is your heart fixed, but you're complete. And He signed it. He's the head of all principality and power. There ain't nobody going to undermine it. Amen? In closing, again, this sealed judgment is yet to come. It's in the future. It could be in the immediate future if the rapture took place. But it's coming, and it could be soon. God does not want to judge anybody. God puts off judging just as long as far as He can, giving people ample time, because He don't like to judge people. But if people won't repent, they force God's hand. And that's what we find here in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 throughout chapter 19, you find God's hand is forced against man. When people fail to repent of sin, He's left with no choice but to judge. Folks, let's live for the Lord. Let's share the Lord. Let's promote the work of the Lord. And let's keep looking for the Lord. If you're looking for the Lord every day, you'll live right. Amen? So watch what you're watching, where you're going, what you're listening to. Because God knows about everything that's going on in our lives. And when we see people around today that has no fear of God, some of them no fear of man, the day is coming when they are going to fear God. They're going to try to escape, but there's nowhere to go. And praise God, one day I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did what he said he'd do. He gave me peace with God. Amen. Loving God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, for warning us of what's coming, which might be intimate. Lord, help us to keep warning men of the danger of living without Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray there would be a spiritual awakening in our country, because our country has drifted so far away from the Lord. All these people protesting, Lord, I pray that they could just see themselves before a holy God and repent of their sin and be satisfied with what you give them in life, Lord. Be content. You tell us on your word we're to be content with what you give us, because you're an all-wise God and you know what's best. Keep us near and dear to your heart, O God. And I pray for each one here, that those unable to be here for whatever reason, and the many needs in our bulletin, and Lord, this salvation box full of names, they need the grace of God. And I pray for everyone that they would have ears to hear and they would have faith to believe in the Savior. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. May the Lord bless. I trust that you'll keep loving the Lord, watching out for the virus, anyone here today would like to come to our altar, we invite you. Anyone need to trust Christ as Savior, we invite. Anyone concerned about somebody else?